looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah. They don't want them a good man. Always.
I usually fade that out, but it's been too long. I messed it up. Oh well.
That's okay. That's okay. It's been a minute since we've
I missed
heard
our song, man. I missed our song.
It's on my playlist, so I hear it.
Oh, cool.
And it's been a kind of an unusual reminder because we haven't been doing the podcast for a couple months. So when I hear it, I'm like, oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Of course. But we're back.
We're back.
Here we are.
The
so it's good.
Down but not out.
That's a good way of putting it, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm very happy to be back. It's been a couple months, which is crazy. Time goes quickly.
Lots happened in a couple months.
It has. It has. You know, I don't know.
For both
of
us.
Seems like when you're young, time kind of flies by. But I don't know. Time has been a little slow for me lately, which I guess is good.
I guess. It depends how things are going, I guess. You know.
Yes. Yeah. I guess it's true.
If things are wonderful every day, you want it to go slow. If it's like, you know, I don't know. Some days you wish they'd disappear. Every time I catch myself wishing a day away, which I do, I'm like, you know, I wish this day would be over.
Yeah.
I catch myself thinking you should never think that. You know,
true.
You've only got so many days on this planet. You shouldn't be wishing any of them away. But
sure.
I do. I do.
I have, for sure.
Yeah.
I have, for sure.
But, you know, we're human. That's what we do.
I guess it's a mindset. And so, you know, sort of the way we think, way we kind of process our day is, you know, kind of how we make it, how, you know, the reality of it. So,
this week, I, you know, everyone that knows me knows what my beautiful girl, my Ava, my puppy, my dog, I lost her. And I'm not going to talk about that because I'll get upset, but I lost her. I loved her. But then I had a lot of stuff to do on Monday. And I felt like I was not, I know it sounds ridiculous. You shouldn't get time off for your dog, but I felt like I needed it. Like I was not in any headspace to do stuff, but I had stuff that could not be changed and it was important.
Yeah.
And I ended up, I had to go to Halifax and had to meet with one of the buyers from out of town. And I'm not going to say names because sometimes people don't want to be named, but you know what? It turned out to be good. He's an old friend of mine. They took me out to dinner. They made me feel good. It ended up being all right. So business went well. So in the long run, it was good to, you know, my wife said to me, she said, go out there and do something. You know, it's okay. Get it off your mind. Get out there. And she was right. She was right.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, you know, kind of sitting at home and thinking about it all day long probably wouldn't have helped. So getting out there and getting busy and kind of taking it off your mind, of course, would help.
I guess the only hard part was I left, my wife was home alone that night. And that was the first time in her adult life that she was in the house without either a person or a dog.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
I'm not saying not at a hotel or something, but I don't think she's been in a hotel by herself. But in the house, that was definitely the first time she's been in her house since she was 19 years old without a dog or a person. So it felt very empty to her. Very empty. So
I'm sure. And, you know, I think there is something in that to be said, like maybe sometimes being on your own in a situation like that is maybe beneficial, like just to sit in it by yourself and to just process it by yourself.
Maybe.
You know, a lot of time in our lives we spend on our own, and so maybe like there's something to be said for just the capacity to be able to kind of just process things on your own, and having the comfort of others is all obviously great, but sometimes to kind of just process things on your own is okay too, right?
Well, the truth of the matter is that we have to spend time on our own. So we have to learn to be comfortable in our own skin, in our own time, in our own place. That's what life is about. And you and I have been
Absolutely.
spending a lot of time in our own different challenges and ways to try to figure out what's going on in our lives. So it's not easy.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a process for sure. And yeah, I think we'll probably touch on that a bit today, because I think a lot of what we're going to talk about today is spent alone, kind of in our own heads. We're going to talk about fear. That's our topic today. And yeah, a lot of fear comes, just from our own thoughts, right?
Think all of
Pretty much, right? I
well,
mean,
just about. I yeah we It's funny, I didn't prepare at all for this today, because I listen, we've talked about doing this for a while, so I thought about it a lot. But I when it comes to talking about fear, I think I could do 10 podcasts on it. Like, I have no problem talking about this today. And I don't mean that in any kind of way. I'm very comfortable talking about fear. So we're gonna, as Chris said, we're gonna talk about fear for our comeback episode. I think it's gonna
We
be a
are.
great episode.
We are.
So Chris is gonna start us off with a definition, I assume.
Yes, I am. And it's funny, because since we left off, we had talked about doing fear a couple months ago. And me, I don't know whether I was in an arrogant or whatever I was doing. I was like, what? I don't have any fear, so I don't even see how that's going to be a podcast. But of course,
I won't tell you what I was thinking when you said that. I was like,
yeah,
oh,
with
okay.
some time and some reflection, of course, I have fears. I maybe just really, maybe I just didn't want to vocalize them at the time. I don't know what it is, but
Oh, I think it was some sort of self-defense. Yeah. Like
probably.
an unconscious,
Well, it became conscious, so
it
here we are now. So I did do some preparation and
did. Some real life stuff.
some real
Anyway,
life.
it's
So
cool.
yeah.
I'm
All
glad we're
right.
here. Let's go.
Yeah, so I'm gonna read the definition of fear. Of course, I drill down into it, so there are a few things, but the main definition of fear is: fear is an intensely unpleasant emotion in response to perceiving or recognizing a danger or threat. Fear causes psychological changes that may produce behavioral reactions, such as mounting an aggressive response or fleeing the threat.
Wow.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah, that's wow.
But, a couple of things that, of course, come from it. It's an unpleasant emotion. And it's a perception or a recognizing of a danger or a threat. And it also causes psychological changes that may produce behavioral reactions, such as mounting an aggressive response or fleeing a threat. And, fleeing a threat could be running away, or it could be really just like going into like a shutdown mode, where you go into like what's called freeze, where you can't really respond, and you get like really anxious, and you get so there's a lot to that.
Yeah, it could be not calling somebody back. It could be ignoring like a bill collector calling you, or boss, a spouse who wants you to address something, anything. There's a lot of ways
Absolutely.
to be scared.
Absolutely. I went a little further, and I'm going to read what is the psychological definition of fear. So this is: psychologists define fear as a protective, primal emotion that evokes a biochemical and emotional response. So again, there is actually a biochemical, like something happening in your body when you sense fear or danger, right? So yeah, it alerts us to the presence of danger or threat of harm, whether that danger is physical or psychological.
So
We've all had.
you have a reaction whether you want to or not. There's a biochemical means your body's doing it without you telling it to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and then it goes on. Fear arises with a threat of harm, either physical, emotional, or psychological, real or imagined. While traditionally considered a negative emotion, fear actually serves an important role in keeping us safe as it mobilizes us to cope with potential danger.
Yeah,
So,
that makes, I mean, you can take that to a pretty basic spot. I mean, if a bear is coming at you, your
yeah.
fear should tell you to get the hell away from that bear, you know.
Absolutely.
But if you didn't
Absolutely.
have fear, you might stand and go, oh, I'm going to take this bear on, you know, and then you did.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought back to like, whatever, a couple hundred thousand years ago when cavemen and when there were like saber-toothed tigers and things like that was when really I would assume that fear kind of really started. You're sitting by the campfire with your buddies and one of them gets torn apart by a saber-toothed tiger. Well, that's pretty fucking scary.
Yeah,
Like,
I think
right? I
every
mean,
time I think of fear, I think saber-toothed tiger.
I do too. It's like, oh my God. But thankfully, there are no saber-toothed tigers. They're all gone. So, for most of us, the threat of actual real physical, thankfully, for me, for you, for the most part, there's not a lot of threat of physical fear
Right.
because I don't live in Africa. I don't, there's not poisonous snakes here. There's just not a lot. So the reality of most of the fear that we have now is in fact psychological.
Or scared of other men, other human beings. I think that's our biggest fear.
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, threat of physical altercations, thankfully again,
Robberies, break and enters, you know, the crazy drivers, road rage. There's things we have to go out and be scared of every day, I think. Look, it doesn't
Yeah.
happen.
I mean, I don't personally get in my car and think, oh my God, I'm going to get into a road, but it's possible. Like,
Possible.
certainly
You could
possible.
have a fender bender with the wrong person, and all of a sudden you could be in the middle of something nasty.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now I know with you're usually the one road raging, but I'm a very calm, peaceful guy.
I am a very calm, peaceful driver.
I'm
I do not road rage at
just
all.
kidding. I'm just
Actually, it's funny that you say that because when I was living in the city, driving in the city obviously versus driving in the country is totally different. I mean, the amount of times you use your horn when you're out in the country is zero.
Right.
But all of a sudden, I found myself like using my horn in the city a lot. People weren't turning fast enough. But then I started like there were a number of occasions where there were a few cars ahead of me and we're all trying to turn right, and I'm back there honking my horn, and I realize there's somebody crossing on their bike or walking, and I'm like, I can't even see them, and here I am honking my horn. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, so it's just like these stupid little things, but
No, I understand. I've gotten better at that. I told a story already in a podcast. I won't repeat it, but something I got my comeopance one day and I just stopped.
yeah, it's like,
Done.
oh man. So
What's
I
the
also
hurry?
I'm going to drill into a couple of famous quotes on fear because I think they're really good
Yeah.
to start the podcast with, because I mean, you read them and you're like, this makes so much sense, but applying it in your own life is kind of okay. Well, so, I think it's worth reading some of these and just kind of understanding them. I love this one by Dale Carnegie. Dale Carnegie wrote a number of books. He was an American industrialist, made lots of money. Anyway,
Carnegie Hall is named after him, right?
that's right. His quote is, "Inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. If you want to conquer fear, do not sit home and think about it. Go out and get busy."
Wow.
How true is that?
Very true. Yeah, I was thinking about something that goes along with that. So that's great. Keep going.
You're gonna love this one. I won't do the voice, but you'll get it. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate, and hate
He
leads to
these
suffering.
puffins. Yoda.
That is Yoda. That is
That.
Yoda. And
Wow.
yeah.
But do you know how deep that is? Like, that is a fantastic quote.
It really is. And I'm going to touch on it in a book quote, but it is true. I mean, fear does lead. I mean, we just read the definition. Fear leads to, generally speaking, can lead to aggression. So, Yoda's version is fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. We've touched on suffering, in the Buddhist principles. We all suffer, but it doesn't have to turn to hate, I guess, is the point of it, right?
Hate really doesn't help anybody, you know.
Another one, Nelson Mandela, the brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear.
You
That's
know
a
how
good
good
one
it
too.
feels. You know how good it feels to conquer fear? That it's
Oh my
pretty,
God.
and
Yeah.
we've all conquered our fears at one point or another. So,
Some of them anyway, right?
yeah, some of them,
Ralph Waldo Emerson, famous poet, he who is not every day conquering some fear has not learned the secret of life.
yeah. Oof.
Yeah.
He's saying it all. That's a big one.
Here's one from Salvador Dali. Have no fear of perfection. You'll never reach it.
That's
Right?
true. That's
Yeah.
good.
Yeah. Henry Ford, one of the greatest discoveries a man makes, one of his greatest surprises, is to find he can do what he was afraid he couldn't do.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth, don't let the fear of striking out hold you back.
Right.
Right?
Because if you're so scared of striking out, you won't swing in the first place.
Yeah. And then the last one, and I've said it a few times on the podcast, is the Mark Twain one. I've had a great many fears, most of which never came true.
Which goes along with what we've talked about in the past. 99% of what you worry about never happens. You know,
Exactly. Yeah.
worry is such a waste of time. And I've wasted a good part of my life worrying. So,
I think
and I'm.
everybody, it's nearly impossible not to worry. It's just like, what are you really worrying about, and is it worth it?
I'm
Just
gonna.
before.
I got one quote.
Okay.
I'll go back to you. I just got one, and I
Yeah.
think everyone knows it. It's from FDR.
Yeah.
Only
Franklin
thing we have
Delano
to fear is
Roosevelt.
fear itself.
Is it FDR or is it Winston Churchill?
No, that was Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Winston's got a lot of them, but that was FDR, and he said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
It's amazing.
That was a country that was coming off a world war and they were heading towards another world war, and he was speaking to everybody. And I thought it's hard to believe that was back in 1932. That's almost 100 years ago, but that's still, I think that phrase is used every day somewhere.
It should be. It should
Yeah.
be. It should
Because
be.
it really is true. The only thing we have to fear is fear.
Yeah.
It,
Yeah. And
and
why
I
are we
And I was
afraid of
thinking
it?
about a couple of those quotes, and I just came to my head about preparing for fear. Like, I'll admit it, I'm afraid to go out and get in a bar fight with some big guy because one, I'm not a great fighter because I've never fought. I'm just not. But there's guys like The Rock, when he walks into a room, or Jason Statham or Bruce Lee or whoever, they're not scared when they walk into a room because they've prepared themselves. Not be scared
Physically, you mean because they're physically huge?
because they're physically huge. They know how to fight. They know how to handle themselves. They probably know how to. They probably don't even fight that much because they don't. Because no one's going to fight with them, right? It's so. You say, well, yeah, you can walk in and not be scared. And I've never been in a bar fight, so why am I scared of something that's never happened to me?
Right.
But
You don't even spend a lot of time in bars. So what?
because I'm scared. But yeah, I just think it's like a hunter's not scared to go in the woods because he knows what to do in the woods. He's prepared himself to know how to hunt and deal with animals and know stuff. I'm not. Give me a gun and put me in the woods. I'll probably end up killing myself, not an animal, you know. So yeah, I don't know. I think there's different things to, well, like I'm a big F1 race car. I love F1 racing. You put me in an F1 car, I'm going to be scared to death because that thing is going to be like, whoa.
Well, you're not going to go 270 kilometers an hour. I can guarantee you
Not for
that.
long, but those guys have prepared their whole life since they were 5 years old to do it,
They have.
you know.
Of course they have.
So
Yeah.
you can prepare yourself not just to learn how to do something, but it can prepare you to deal with fears of certain things, right? If you prepare yourself. Yeah.
But I mean, maybe Lewis Hamilton would be really scared of doing a cold call at some furniture store to try to sell some mattresses. He'd be like,
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's true. We prepare ourselves for everything. I mean, it's like asking a girl out for the first date you ask out when you're a kid, you're scared to death. But by the time you get to the 10th one, you know,
Yeah, maybe you got it
it's
down.
a little better, a little better.
Well, and to your point on that, I guess like once you've had some success, your fears tend to go away.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Right? You know, once you are more prepared, you're less afraid.
Well, and listen, I know I'm jumping ahead, but I've just thought of this. I should have wrote it down, but when I can't make a decision, because indecision is one of the things I hate the worst. If I'm
Yeah.
deciding whether I should do something, whether it's take another line or do whatever, and I'm just going crazy with it, I literally will make myself decide with a pro or con list. I write down all the pros and all the cons. Whichever list wins, that's the one I take. But that is
That's
basically
great.
fear. That's looking at your fears and figuring out, if you can deal with it.
But at least that's a method for analyzing the fear and then kind of overcoming it.
Well,
Right?
I just figure if pros or if there's more pros than cons, well, I got to do it. I got to do it. But
Okay.
if the cons win, well, I
Yeah.
shouldn't, so.
Yeah. So before we kind of drill into our own fears, I got a couple more. So I'm going to read from one of our my favorite books, The Return to Love.
No, no, I've got
This is a
goosebumps.
simple. This is healing. Oh, nice. Very good. Very good. This is a simple one. It's on page XX. So 20 of the introduction. Love is what we were born with. Fear is what we have learned here.
Say it again.
Love is what we were born with.
Okay.
Fear is what we have learned here.
Yep. That's a good
I
quote, man.
mean, kids aren't,
True.
I mean, a baby, I don't imagine has any fear. There's no, like, they don't
No,
even know what it is. So how would they?
even when they're crying, it's just a reaction to being hungry or whatever. They're not scared. They just need something.
So we learn to be scared of things because shit
And we're
happens.
taught to be scared of things. That's
Shit
hot.
happens.
That's this. That's, yeah. Good quote.
So then page 24, same book. Love in your mind produces love in your life. This is the meaning of heaven. Fear in your mind produces fear in your life. And this is the meaning of hell.
Wow, that's
Right?
great. That's great.
I
Wow.
mean, I've been there, you've been there. I mean, when you're in total fear, you're in the living hell. You really are. Like it
You
is
are.
just a
You are.
living.
You can't even see the good things around you, you
No.
can't even see the good things around you.
No. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's amazing. I guess we should get going. So I guess today it's not gonna be all just talking about my fears. It's gonna be a lot of it in your fears. I think we've touched on some stuff. I wanna discuss like a little bit about fear itself
Yeah.
and some fears of other people. I know I won't mention anybody by name, and some famous fears, some fears maybe the countries have had altogether, fears we're having right now as nations. There's lots to talk about. So
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Well, you know me. I wrote mine down. I wrote mine down.
But you prepared, so you go first.
Mine are chronological as they always are.
I like it. I like
I'm
it.
like, I'm gonna go back in time and I'm going to think about when fear started for me. And you know, I think part of addressing fear is understanding what your fears are, because the only way you're going to get past something is to know what it is. If you
Exactly.
don't know what it is, or if you're not thinking about it, then you're just going to be in it. So at least talking about it can help, you know, help you find a solution. And you know, I think people have listened to our stories. They know what's happened in our lives. We've both been through addiction. That was a very, of course, fearful time. But on the other side of it, as I continue in my journey to sobriety, I've had to really drill down in a lot of personal stuff, a lot of stuff that's gone on in my head. And that's a process. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not easy. It's not easy. Because facing these things, facing these fears, brings up a lot of emotion, and it brings up things that you may not have thought about before because you
Right.
start reflecting on it more and more and
Right.
more. I honestly think some of my earliest fears were probably of my dad.
Right.
And I love my dad. Like I don't, I'm not, but he was a tall, big guy, tall. He had a big voice. He had his own stuff from his life, and he just, he was a stressful person. He was a stressed out person. And yeah, he used to argue with my mom. And that's scary as
That's
a kid.
I can yeah, I understand. Yeah.
It's scary. And for anybody out there that has experienced this, it's traumatic. And
It's awful. I've dealt with it and I've done it, which makes me feel even worse anyway.
it's hard. It's hard. I've done it too. And yeah, it makes me emotional just talking about it. There's no question about it. We all have, you know, we all have stuff, and you know, I'm sure he didn't want to be that way, but he was, and it caused fear in our family, it caused fear in my in me. Anyway, we'll
And he
move on.
wasn't doing it to scare you, but
Of
it
course
is.
not. Of course not. He had his own stresses and whatever, and that's how he responded to them, I guess. I don't even, you know, I never really got a chance to even talk to him about it. He's gone. I wish I could have, you know, but I didn't. I don't know what. I don't, he loved my mom. I know he did. I know he didn't want to do that, but he did. And it affected me for sure. I think the thing that comes up next is, you know, as I progress in my life, as you get, you know, into your teens and you get into this sort of fear of like not being accepted, right? Am I cool enough? Do I have the right clothes? Do I have this? Like, it's like, am I going to have friends? How am I going to be? Like,
You're
who
stealing
am I?
all mine. You're stealing all mine. This isn't fair.
All this stuff. Well, I mean, I think everybody's has this, right? It's not like I'm, you know, maybe not everybody's dad was, you know, they were, but we all get to that point where we kind of like, we have fear of not fitting in,
Right.
right? And we're not comfortable in our own self, or I mean, some people are. I don't think I was in our own self to just say, oh, I'm just going to be myself and everybody's going to like me. So I think definitely I went through that phase that we all do. And then also in that same time in the teen years, you know, hormonal, everything's going on, you know, you kind of, I went through a phase where I was like, am I going to live up to my parents' expectations?
Oh, yeah.
Am I going to make the right decisions? Am I going to, like, I had a fear of, you know, I had a fear of not knowing what I wanted to do it with my life. You know, and that's a very difficult phase of life. I mean, it's just, you know, so many different things going on in your head.
And it's, does it ever stop?
I mean, it,
I'm not through that one yet.
I don't think it ever stops, but it might get better as you kind of, you know, maybe become more comfortable with yourself or your own, you know, your career, your security at home, your relationships, your family relationships. So it certainly can. I mean, does it for everyone? Of course not. I still have, you know, difficulties kind of deciding who I am. And that's, you know, that's where I get to sort of in the next few. I'm, you know, fear of like, I think right now, one of my biggest things, and I don't know what, this isn't like midlife crisis stuff, and midlife crisis, I don't think is the best, you know, description of it. But you get to a point in your life, I'm 56, where you're like, what is my purpose? Like, what am I going to fulfill my potential in life? Like, am I going to leave a mark? Are people going to remember me? That's a big one for me right now. Like, you know, I've been making a lot of changes. I've been kind of reassessing myself, and you know, that's a big one.
I
Am I going to
understand that
leave a
one.
mark?
It's a
You
hard
know,
one. I know
it
when
is.
I was really suicidal, which I'm not going to talk about today. I've talked about it, but I remember that's something that goes through my head. I literally thought no one's going to care anyway. No one, I've left nothing. No one's going to care if I'm gone. It won't even be a blip, you know? The world will still move on, you know? And it's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling.
It's
It's not,
not.
and it's not true.
It's not true.
Of course not. I've got
There's the
people that
people that
love me.
love
I've
you,
got
that
people that
love
love
you
you.
for
I love
sure.
you. I mean, of course, but I get the thought. I get it.
For sure. And I think especially in the last 20 years or so, as social media has become more and more prevalent, there's just so much more exposure to the world. You know, you can put yourself out there to be liked, to be loved, to be remembered. You know, you see people that have millions of followers that people are, you know, listening to every day, and then you're like, oh, I have 500 followers. And it's like, you know, you compare yourself, right? It's
And
logical.
social media, that people are putting out these perfect lives that we think, oh, we're failing. Look what they're doing. And it's all bullshit. It's not
Yeah.
even true. You know, it's not even true. How do we live up?
There's
How do we live up to something that's fake? You
yeah.
can't, you know, but it's hard. And think of what it's doing to people. You and I are old enough to maybe realize that it's fake. There's young people that don't realize it's fake, and they're trying to be, they're seeing these perfect images and perfect lives, and they're totally think they're failing life. It's not good.
And I think that ties into just sort of having connection around you. I mean, certainly a fear of not being loved, not being liked. That's a tough one for sure. I mean, you know, especially, and I went through it when I was really in the heart of my addiction, where I was like, I had a fear of people seeing who I was in that. You know, seeing where I was. I think for a lot of years, I lived a fairly content life. I was happy enough, but there were so
Things came fairly easy for you for a long time, didn't they?
I
Or am
think
I just
so.
saying that?
I
It seemed
think
like
so.
the, I don't mean easy, but I don't know. You just, I always thought you had it together, man. I always thought you were the coolest cat, right? I just did.
And I'm not saying that I didn't have it together, but I
Maybe
think
that
at
was
some
what you
point you're
were,
put.
maybe you were projecting that more, that maybe that's
I
not
think so. I
going
think
on.
there was some, you know, there was still some stuff going on internally. I mean, you know, when you have that trauma, when you have pain from your childhood, which we all do, you tend to sort of suppress it. And I was definitely suppressing it with alcohol for sure. There were times where, I would just drink to forget.
And I think I live, and I'm not going to interrupt you. I'm going to let you keep going, but I think I always think of myself as the, you know, the duck on the water, right? Like, because when I people when I tell people all my fears and what my addictions and my, what I worry about, and people, and I'd have people go like, "What are you talking about?" Like 10 years ago, like, you know, Sean, you got a new, a great house, a great family, two cars, a great Harley. You're buying new Harleys all the time. You have everything together. But I'm
Right.
like the duck on the water. Like, I look cool and calm and beautiful, but underneath my feet are going 100 million miles a minute, right? I'm just like, oh, scared to death, scared to death, scared to death. So you're projecting one thing, but it's not the reality, you know? So, but
Yeah. I think it's tricky to reflect on because I don't know how far I am along with conquering my fears, but when you start looking at what your fears are and what, you know, who you are, and you're not entirely happy with what that looks like, it's a lot of work to sort of get to a place where you really kind of like love yourself, right? You know, when we were talking about the definitions and we were talking about, you know, Yoda and how fear turns to hate, and you know, when you don't love yourself, there's a lot of fear in that, right? Because you feel like you're kind of living like an egoic kind of false self. Like I think I created a false self to protect myself
Right.
because I didn't really want to address some of the fears and and traumas that I was feeling inside.
Right.
Right?
And that all kind of, I feel like with you, like I wasn't there, but I know you've talked about it when they when you kind of had that intervention and like you'd never really been called an alcoholic before. That must have been a weird spot for you. Like I can't imagine how you're because you probably knew you were an alcoholic, but
Oh.
it just hadn't been verbalized before.
Yeah, I definitely did. And there was that, I think, again, that was that fear of being seen as someone that I didn't want to be seen as. Right? I mean, you're kind of going along going, oh, everything's fine, everything's fine, when you know inside it's really not fine. And most of the time, everyone around you realizes it's not fine. You do too, but you're not willing to admit it. They all know it, but you don't want them to know it.
Plus, you've got an addiction, which, and your addiction wins all battles, right? So,
Yeah.
like,
Yeah.
you're not even really yourself, so
Yeah.
that's a whole other topic, I know, but it's tough. I remember looking in the mirror when I was in the middle of my addiction, literally just staring at myself in this in the mirror. I mean, this staring at myself, going, "How can this be you? This can't be you. This has to be somebody else, man. It has to be." I'm
That's it.
Sean Pauly. I'm a good guy. I can't, this can't be fucking me. I can't be a drug addict, you know?
How did I get here?
How did I get here? And how do I get out of it? Can I ever get out of it?
Yeah.
There was a lot of times I thought I would never be anything but a drug addict. Like I couldn't see any way out. I was so scared.
Yeah.
And that's fear. I was scared to death.
Me
Scared to
too.
death of withdrawal, scared to death of everything.
Me too.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so.
I mean, I still have fear. I mean, you've been sober 7 years, eight
7.5, yeah.
and a half. I mean, I've been sober for 111 days. I
Yeah.
mean, I
You
keep
did
kind of
lots.
like, I keep sort of patting myself on the back going, well, okay, you've been sober actually like in the last 13 months, with the exception of, I think it's 7 days, I've been sober for whatever that is, 379
Amazing.
days.
It's great.
But I still have a fear of needing to go back to that, to drinking, to kind of deal with my fears, which is this weird cycle of, well, it didn't work before, but I'm still scared of trying it again.
Right.
Because it's a battle. It is a battle still every day to kind of really do this deep self, like this deep dive into, my own traumas and my own pain, and getting out of it is not a, it's not a, you can't change it overnight.
No, you're dealing with a lot of challenges right now, and
I am.
of course, you're going to think about drinking because drinking, you're going through so much that anybody would have a hard time dealing with, and then drinking kills that, right? But it's like that, and I know everyone quotes this. It's not a genius thing to say, but I guess a genius said it. Insanity, the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. That was Albert Einstein. But that is an amazing quote. You know, it's like, yeah, opiates, they didn't work the first time around, but this time I'll be okay. This time it'll be work. And it's like, if you think, oh, well, this time, maybe a glass of wine a night will help me calm down. Like, of course not. Of course not. But I get the thought process. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I could add to the list of fears a fear of change. I mean, we all get comfortable in a certain situation and we're like, oh, this is really comfortable. I'm good. Like, this is good. Even though it may not be. So then all of a sudden you have to kind of say to yourself, okay, well, so now I need to change, but I don't know how. So
Right.
now all of a sudden it goes back to what we were saying at the beginning before the podcast. Like, I wouldn't, I have a fear of attempting to climb Mount Everest because I probably wouldn't make it. I might die. But if I've climbed Mount Everest 10 times and I've done it, well, I've conquered the fear. So for the most part, so I can do it.
Right.
But when you haven't you know, when you haven't done things a certain way and now you're kind of forced to try it, there's a fear in it because it's unknown. It's scary,
Scary.
right?
Well, you
It
said it,
is.
man. We're talking about
It is.
fear. It's scary. It's scary.
And
Life is scary.
a lot of it you have to do on your own. Like
99%.
this is my internal battle. I mean, the fact that I have people around me that support me is amazing, but at the end of the day, it's my journey, it's my battle, it's my internal battle. And in the process, of course, through the addiction, through I pissed off people, I upset people, I made bad decisions. I have to live with those. So, you know, people that I want to have around me that they're not necessarily here for me at the moment. And I think, you know, I think as I continue to change, hopefully they'll come back into my life, but I don't know. So there's a fear in that too.
Right. Yeah, it's not a guarantee,
It's not a guarantee.
because their journey is their journey, and it doesn't mean that their journey might not go with your journey, regardless of what you do.
Exactly.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
No,
Should we
well,
talk about, let's talk about some of your fears.
I have no fears.
You want to start a company called Scared Shitless. Tell us about that.
I've worked on it for a long time because I used to see all these cars with the no fear written on them. No fear, no fear. And I just wanted to put mine scared shitless, man. And I'm going to start that company. I've actually made a couple moves to do it already. So I'm
Nice.
going to try. All I want is some stickers and t-shirts that say scared shitless. And I think I'll sell a million of them because I think we're all scared shitless. So,
I guess like fear is, it's a catalyst to change. So there is something in a way healthy about it if you look at it like that, right?
yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I kind of, even though it's mostly just in my head, I was kind of going the same way because I have been scared literally my whole life. I remember being scared of my dad. Dad never hit me. Dad wasn't a physical guy. I have this one memory of him having his belt off, but I don't think he ever used it.
Yeah.
But yet I was still scared to death of dad. I
Yeah.
mean, scared to death of him. Like he would do this thing when he got mad, and his jaw would move, like
Lunch. Yeah.
clenching and
Yeah.
start pulsating.
Yeah.
I was scared to death of him. Scared to
Yeah.
death of him. And I mean, in that way, I guess it was good because I respected him. You know,
There's nothing good. Like you can earn respect without being scared to death of
oh, I
somebody.
was scared to death. And if I ever talked back to my mother, I was really in trouble. Like I was not allowed to do it yet.
Right.
The example he set was, you know, he was drunk a lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes his drunkenness, not sometimes, usually for a while, his drunkenness meant having a good time. Like, oh, let's dance, let's party, let's turn music on, let's have fun. But then he'd have the drinking would go too far, and then he'd be an asshole.
Yeah.
And him and my mom had just screaming, knockdown fights. I don't think he ever really got physical with her, but I have a memory of her like down on her knees on the front steps and him dragging her in. And they, I mean, my best friend's mom used to come pick me up. They'd call her to come get me because they were fighting so much because I had to get out of the house. And anything that feels like, oh, hi, buddy. Yeah, my mom and dad are fighting again, you know.
Yeah.
They fought a lot. He was drunk a lot. And, you know, I remember I was like, well, I was only in Truro. I lived in Truro, Nova Scotia from the time I was 4 till I was 7. But one of my worst fears is I was down at my friend's house, and that was about 4 houses away. And I saw Dad putting his luggage in his car. And he
Yeah.
traveled a lot, but it was the wrong day. And I raced home, and he pulled out of the driveway before I could get there. And he was gone. And we drove up to Moncton. I remember being at my grandmother's and mom crying all the time, but I didn't understand what was going on. But I remember like it was yesterday, Chris, and it was awful. And
Right.
he came back and we packed up and went back home, you know, because mom always stayed with him. I knowing now, I think he was unfaithful to her. I think he was a lot, but I think he got caught. But that was so I had the fear of dad, and then I had the fear of dad leaving. I didn't want my dad to leave, even though I was scared of him. I loved him. I loved my parents a lot. I mean, I went in and kissed my parents goodnight till the time I was 20 years old. I mean, that's just what I did. No matter what, I always went and said, kiss them goodnight. But, and then dad would do this thing. He wouldn't hit me, but even when I was like a teenager, like an older teenager, he would, if he was mad at me, he would take me in the room and scream at me and lecture me like for an hour, just screaming. He did it a few times with my girlfriend, who's now my wife. She remembers, she'd be in the other room listening to him, just berating me. And how do you think I felt when I had to go see my girlfriend after that? Like, you know,
This big.
this big. And she, of course, felt bad for me, but I would frustrate dad because I wouldn't say anything. Like, I wouldn't say a word. I would just sit there and he would get madder and madder because I wouldn't fight back and I just wouldn't talk. Couldn't. I was frozen.
No room for talking back. My dad was a lecturer too. He wouldn't scream at me, but he would make me feel like I was like a speck of dust
Right.
on the floor.
Exactly. Like everything was wrong. And it could be over something stupid. I remember one of the worst ones was I like to, I think I might have talked about this, but I like to go to the movies and dad wouldn't go. He just never liked going. And then one day I came home with my girlfriend and my sister and her boyfriend and dad and mom weren't there. And they came home and I said, oh, where were you guys? I said, oh, we went to see Tango and Cash. I remember the movie. And I love those kind of movies. And I went, oh, what? You didn't take me? Like, I always beg you to go. I got an hour screaming at that. We don't have to fucking walk around fucking on you and everything. You think we're just here walking on eggshells for whatever you fucking. I'm like, holy fuck. I just said I would have liked to have gone. Like, what the fuck, man? But that was the kind of shit that I got all the time, you know? And then sometimes that could be a loving, good guy, but it's hard on your head.
It is for
So
sure.
that messed with me for a long time. Then, you know, I was scared as a kid. I remember multiple times in bed crying, and mom would come in and say, what was wrong? And I'd be like 10 years old, and I'd be scared of everyone dying, like scared to death. I'm like, aren't you guys gonna die? Like, because I maybe someone died I knew or someone's parent, and I would just, and mom would say, well, you know, she'd try to calm me down, but I'd be like, I'm gonna lose you guys. I'm gonna be alone. I can't stand to lose you, mom, especially mom. And I was scared of that kind of stuff. And then things would cause fears that stayed with me way into my adulthood. I remember going to church, and church loved to put fear into you, like hell and going to hell and sinning. But as a little kid, you're taking this in and you're like, holy shit, like hell, like I'm gonna burn forever, forever. Like I didn't swear till I was 18 years old, Chris, because I was swearing was a sin. Like I was so scared of it. My friends were off, fuck this, and I'd be like, whoa, I can't swear. And they'd make fun of me because I wouldn't swear, but I wouldn't. I just wouldn't. The worst one, when I was about 13, they took us to church and they showed us a movie, big screen on the front of the church, real life, like people, actors. And it was about the second coming. So Christ gets crucified and all that, but Christ is supposed to come back. So before he comes back, the second coming, the devil takes over the world, and you have to get stamped with 666 on your forehead if you want food and water and a house. If you don't do that, they put you in a guillotine and chop your head off.
Oh
And I'm
my God.
watching this movie of people getting there. First off, all the good people disappeared and everyone else is left behind. If you're left
Oh.
behind, you get 666, which means you can get food in that for your family, but you're going to hell. Or if you want to go to heaven, you can fight it off, but you get your head chopped off. Buddy, do you think I could handle that at 13 years old?
Oh my God.
What the fuck? And this isn't like watching a scary movie. They're telling me this is what's going to happen.
Real.
I'm scared to death way into my adult life. I remember one day coming home and the lawnmower was on the front lawn and nobody was home. And I was convinced that they'd been taken without me and I'd been left behind. And I was crying and screaming. I couldn't get a hold of anybody. No one had cell phones back then. And I thought everyone had gone. I thought, oh, Kim and mom and dad, they're all gone and I've been left behind. And I mean, and when they finally got home an hour later, I was like, I was shaking. I was shaking, and they and that that I went through that for years that I was going to get left behind, and that's to do that to somebody, like, and the Bible. Like I look at my little sisters, like 5 years old, and they got the Bible in their hand. I think, have you read that fucking thing? I mean, it's okay if you believe in it, but have you read what's in that Bible? Read it and tell me a 5-year-old should have it in their hand. No way. No way. So I that was and I that's a different topic. We can do that a different week, but that was a fear I had for sure that just, you know, stuck with me forever and ever. And then as I grew up, and it's never left me, you touched on a little bit, but with my way was I always feel like a phony. Like I feel like to this day I'm not anything. I'm a phony. Like, I thought I was going to fail at my career, my whole career. Like, someone's going to finally realize that this guy's not good at this. He's been faking it, and they're going to find out. Now, I've had the same career for 35 years, but I still feel like I'm phony. I still feel like I'm not doing good at it. I still feel like, and I never felt like I was being who I wanted to be. I always felt like I was changing who I had to be what I thought I should be. So even in school, even though I was a great student, I started screwing up in high school because I started hanging around with kids that weren't going to school anymore, a little bit older than me, but they were cool and they were tough and they were cool kids. And I couldn't believe these kids would hang around with me. Like,
Yeah.
I'm part of this group. Like, holy shit, like these guys think I'm cool. Like, thinking back, fuck them. I should have gone to school, hang around with them, but I thought I was cool. I bought a Harley when I was 16 years old and drove it to school and then got a full-time job. So I go to school from first thing in the morning till 3:30. I go to my grandfather's and have supper and drive to work for 4:30, and I'd work till 1 in the morning. And that was so I could pay for my Harley. And but dad had a Harley, so I bought his old Harley, and then I thought I wanted to be a biker, and I had a Confederate flag scarf on my head of me, and I was a biker, man. I was a biker. And then I used to read Hell's Angels book, like I wanted to be a Hell's Angel, right? That was my dream, to be a biker, until I read enough about them. And I'm not going to badmouth the Hell's Angels. I'm sure they're great
Good.
people, but I'm not going to say the Hell's Angels. I think they are good people, whatever, but just a biker. I read a lot about bikers and I realized that they had more rules than I have. I don't want to be a biker. They have too many rules. I don't want to live like that, right? But then I became a salesman because my dad told me to be a salesman. Like, when I wasn't doing good in school, dad didn't kick my ass and say, "Get back to school." I'm sure he did a couple times, but when he finally gave up, he just said, "You know what? You can come work for me. That's fine."
Yeah, well, I mean, everything you were just talking about, I mean, you were sort of emulating your dad, right?
Was.
You're like, okay, well, he's got a bike, I'll get a bike. I want to be cool, mate. You know, you probably thought your dad was pretty
I
cool.
did. My friends
So,
all thought he was cool.
you know, this parental representation was is like, obviously we all, you know, there's a period in your life where you're like, I don't want to be like my parents, but then it's like all of a sudden you are, because that's how that they raised you. What, you know, they're your
That's all
role
I got.
models. They're...
Plus, I have all my cousins and all my friends saying, "Your dad's so cool. Uncle Bobby's so cool. You're so lucky. You're so lucky. He's so cool. He's so cool." So I wanted to be like dad.
All this
But
stuff.
I never got a chance to find out who I was.
Right.
I was driving a Harley because dad had one. And then I got my girlfriend pregnant, just like my dad got his girlfriend pregnant. And then dad said, "Well, you can come." Dad didn't. I'm glad he didn't. He supported us for the. I mean, he used to tell us when we were in our teens, whoever got the first baby got $10,000. Like, who says that to a
Wow.
teenage kid? I never got the 10 grand, by the way. But so then I get my girlfriend pregnant. He doesn't say, "Well, okay, we're going to get you going to college. We're going to keep you here and get your life going." No, it's, "Well, you can come work for me." Didn't train me, gave me a briefcase, sent me off to a this terrible buyer, and I was scared to death talking about fear. And he said, "If you get an order, you can do it." So I got an order, but I was scared to death. I remember driving 4 or 5 hours to see a customer or go to a store opening, not going in and driving back home because I was scared because I didn't want to do it. And I didn't mind doing it so much if I was traveling with dad. Like I always say, it's easy to be Robin, it's hard to be Batman, you know? Like, you know, it's not so bad being the side.
Sure.
But I was always scared of it until I eventually got good at it because I was forced to get good at it because my dad had an accident and he couldn't work anymore and I had to take the lead and I forced myself. You think about fear. I remember the first time in my business, I have to do product knowledge a lot in front of people. And I
Sure.
remember the first one I had to do on my own was in front of about 15 people and I was scared to death. I was sitting outside the Gallery One in Dartmouth in my car. I turned on Lose Yourself by Eminem. And I'm out there, you know, just cranking, you know, Mom's Spaghetti. One shot, one shot. You got one shot. And I'm just like,
One
so I go in, I
opportunity.
got some stuff ready, and I prepared the hell of it. And I went in there and I was just like, oh, but when it was over, they all come over and told me what a great job I did, and it was awesome. And from that moment on, I was fine. So I conquered that fear. But it was hard. It was hard.
I mean, listening to your story, it's similar to mine in a lot of ways. I think, you know, and I talked about it a little bit about sort of finding yourself. Like I talked about like what's called a midlife crisis, or it doesn't have to be, it's not even a
Oh, I've had
crisis. It,
12. I've had 12 of them. It's okay.
it it's like it's almost like a midlife review. It doesn't have to be a crisis. Like sometimes you just do something, you just are someone, you do the things that you do, it kind of it happens, and then all of a sudden you're like, is this who I want to be? And you got it, like that's when you have to take this like deep reflective dive into like, what do I really like? And God bless you if it happens early in life. God bless you if you actually figure it out early on. This is what I really want to be. I mean, I think we've touched on this on a couple of shows, like, you know, where something happened. Oh, with Petrea, for example, you know, not to bring, but she had an incident where she broke her leg. Remember the story? And then she decided that she wanted to become a doctor. And wow, amazing. But like, where you're just kind of going through life and you're like, okay, I'm in sales and I'm pretty good at it. But like all of a sudden it's like no longer fulfilling. And you're like, okay, now what? Now I'm
Now
56
what?
and I'm like, what now? It's a deep dive. And it's like,
Scary.
you got to really start looking at what is really important to you. What is meaningful? What mark can you leave? Like
And you start to put a
yeah.
lot of more time behind you than it's ahead of you, so you're running out of time.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta read the like. I didn't read this one on the back, but like, I don't think you can read it. Maybe you can read it from
Okay.
this
Our
from the skin.
deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
I mean, the reality is we are all powerful beyond measure. You know, Nelson Mandela is a human being just like me. You know, you mentioned The Rock. Were you like, and that's a silly reference, but like they're just human beings. Like
He's,
we're all
but
human
he's
beings.
amazing. I think The Rock is amazing.
I do too. I think seems like an incredible guy. He's you know, making changes in the world. Like we all have the capacity for that, but I think we're held back by things that happen in our childhood, like
By
things.
fear.
You know, I don't blame my parents, but the reality is that there are chains, there are handcuffs that you drag along with you in life, and sometimes they drag you down. Sometimes people can't go on. Sometimes you fall into a deep addiction, but there is always going to be an opportunity to like get yourself out of it and like real and really like kind of figure it out. Like to just get up every morning and go, I'm a good person. I love myself and live in that place of love, not in that place of fear and hate. Like just like, I love this day, I love that tree, I love being on the podcast, I love you, I love people in my life, I love myself, like all this stuff. But it is really a retraining. Like you really have to like retrain
Well,
yourself. Like you have to like reparent yourself. You really it's it, like
you
and
do.
I'm doing therapy, I'm doing the things that I need to do because I don't know how to do it on my own. I need help.
Absolutely. I Chris,
Right?
reparenting is a good way to say it because I
It's
feel the
true.
I feel like I literally have not really had any, I've never been behind the wheel driving the car of my life, not once. Like I feel like I've just been told what to do. Like I got my girlfriend pregnant. That's my fault. And
Oh, it's a
I've been married
blessing.
to her for
Yeah.
35
You're
years.
yeah, it's a blessing.
It is. And I've got my children who I love more than anything, but I definitely was forced to take care of them because I was 19 years old and I was scared to death, but I did it. But I was being a salesman because dad dragged me along to that, and I took the easy way, I guess, and went with him and listened. I didn't have to listen to him, but I did. I let him influence everything I did, and I realized way too late that he didn't bring me on to work for him for me. He brought me on to work for him for him. He wanted to retire. He wanted me to pay him. You know, that's another story. But I never really. And then I had to take care of my children. And I remember when I bought my first house, I was in my mid-20s, and I remember sitting there with my best friend. I had my hands on the wall of this little bungalow I bought. I looked at him and said, I can't keep this. I can't do this. I'm an idiot. I can't raise a family and buy a house." And then,
And yet you did.
I
You
was
did.
I d I did. I was scared of losing it. I bought a bigger house. I've been scared of losing it since the day I had it, but I've had it for 20 years. But I still feel like a phony. I still feel like I just have been faking it. But I think what you just said, now I'm 54 years old. My children have both made lives for themselves. They're married. They have great jobs. They have their own homes. They're doing great. So all of a sudden, it's just me and Shonda. And what do I do? Or what do I do? My
And I
life
think,
is taking care of my
yeah,
family. They
I
don't
mean,
need me anymore.
listening to you, I feel, again, I think we have, there's a lot of parallels. I think I did, you know, again, I was kind of a little lost after university and I was working, and then my dad was, he kind of semi-retired, and then he's like, do you want to buy a business together? And I was like, okay. It wasn't really my decision, it was his decision. I don't regret it. It brought me great things in my life, but was I driving the car? Not so much. You know, I feel like, yeah, I was on cruise control for a long time until all of a sudden my car started breaking down a little bit, and all of a sudden I'm like off the side of the road and I'm sitting in the ditch going, okay, well now what? I don't really know how to drive my own car, so now what do I have to do?
Yeah,
And
and your dad's gone.
that's the work that I'm doing. That's the work that you're doing. We're trying to like we started this podcast for one reason. Well, two maybe. One was probably to kind of tell our stories and help ourselves, and two was to help other people.
Right,
I
through our
think
stories.
originally, of course, the title is The Chivalrous Guys. We directed it towards men because we're men, and that's what's where we, you know, that's kind of what we understand. So we tell our story. We hopefully other people can listen to our story and maybe they can learn something from it. But the reality is, you can be on autopilot or cruise control in your car for a long time, but eventually, like, you do have to drive your own car because that's really the only way that you're going to realize that you're powerful beyond measure.
Absolutely.
Because when you're driving your own car, you're just going through the motions,
Absolutely. And
right?
going through the motions every
And
day. Like,
no, I think something that we both are very passionate about is, like, you know, wellness, men's mental health, men's wellness. Like, I'm not, of course, I'm not saying for any, and this is, you know, this cautiousness in society these days. Of course, I'm not, I of course can care about women and trans people and gay, everybody. I'm not saying just men, but this, we're talking about our experiences as men, what happened to us from our childhood with a dads that were alcoholic, that were aggressive, and the things that happened in our lives that led us to this.
right.
Like,
Absolutely.
God bless you if you had a wonderful, caring, nurturing dad, because you're probably a lot better off than both of us are. But whatever, we've been through what we've been through, and now we're just trying to, like, make it better.
I always say pain is personal. And you know what? There's God bless them, but then there's people that had dads that beat the living fuck out of them or sexually abused them, or I mean there's a lot worse than we had too. I mean, but you can only talk about your own experience. That's all I know. And the last one I want to talk about, because I know we're gonna have to wrap up, but I want to make sure I talk about it because it's kind of what, and I swear we should have fear part two because I got more to talk about. But
We always do.
talked about my dad hollering at me and fighting with my mom and how bad that affected me. And then I did the same fucking thing. Me and Shonda would have just screaming matches, screaming our guts out at each other, and probably my fault. The kids could hear it and they'd be crying. And I can't forgive myself for it. I cannot. And my son, a couple years ago, came over and ripped me apart. He had a list of things that I'd done wrong. And I sat there crying and I wouldn't talk to him for a few months because I thought he went overboard. I didn't think it was true. And some of it probably wasn't, but some of it fucking was.
And it
And
was his curse,
it
let's be
was his,
honest.
it was. And he was crying because he was scared to death to tell me. And I realized he'd been scared to tell me his whole life. And it's awful. It's awful that I made him feel that way. Now we have a good relationship now. We're okay. But, and we've always had an okay relationship. But I realized that I wasn't a good dad. I would go around saying, well, I've been a good dad. I've been a good dad. I've been here. I've supported them. I bought them gifts. Oh, here's gifts, 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 right? But I realized that I did some pretty rotten fucking things to those kids. And how do you forgive yourself for that? How do you move on from that?
I think you just say, look, I was a good dad. Was I perfect? No. Did I make mistakes that my dad made? Yes. but there's at least an opportunity for you to fix it. You can't change the past. You know that. And you also can't predict the future. So you at least have an opportunity with your son to talk about it, to explain to him what happened, why you did it. It wasn't you didn't do it because you didn't love him. You had your own stuff. Like, I think you have a wonderful opportunity to still communicate openly and honestly with your son about just being a human being and just trying to fix your relationship going forward. That's all you can do. We both know you can't change the past. And most of the fear that we have when we talk about fear is of things in the future. I'm not scared of anything that's happened in my past. How, what, you can't be, why? There's nothing. I'm not really fearful in the present either. I could be fearful about what might happen. Quoting Mark Twain, they never.
I've been scared of what might happen my whole life. My whole adult life, I've owed money to the government. I'm always going to come in and take everything. I live with a sword of Damocles hanging over my head every day. I remember my sister said one day, "I don't know how you've lived your life that way." I'll tell you how I've lived it, scared to death, stressed out, and worried. Now I drive basically for a living, and I'm driving the 10-year-old truck that I can't afford to fix, that I can't afford a new one. And every time I go out, I'm scared I'm never coming back because there's nothing left of it. But what can I do? I'm going to drive it till I can't drive it. I got it. It's my job,
But
you know?
if your car broke down on the side of the road, I don't know, your son would probably come pick you up, you'd drive home and you'd figure it out. It's
I got CAA. They come get
Yeah,
me.
exactly. Like at the end of the day, and I don't know, I mean the government stuff, I don't know. Like,
It's
yeah, of
scary.
course it's not great, but I think most of that stuff you can figure out. I think you can.
We're doing better because a couple of years ago, I handed over all the finances to Shonda for the first time in my life, and that was scary. I handled the money my whole life. I took care of things, and I've been having a hard time dealing with it. I don't like the fact I got to ask her for the money and ask her for a little bit and ask for this. But thank God, because she's got things going the right direction. She's got them. She's paying them off. We've paid off a couple parts that were important. She did it. We're doing what we have to do. But I get regret. Like, why didn't I do this 15 years ago? You know, like, and then I get regretful that I can't take my wife to Florida, and I haven't got. And I, buddy, I got no retirement plan. I'm gonna work the catering at my funeral, jump in the coffin, we'll be done. Because I'll
You
have
don't
to.
know that. You don't know that at this point. I think, you
I
know,
probably won't get the job. I don't know.
I mean, let's be honest. Maybe Shonda's better with money than you are.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. No,
So then
she's fucking better at it. She is fucking better at it.
her handling the finances is a good thing.
Money, it's a good thing. Money to me, it's gonna sound awful.
That was a good decision.
I hate being broke. I can't stand it, but money, when I have it, it doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't have a lot of value. I just like, oh yeah, let's buy that. Oh yeah, you need money. I used to give people money, buy them dinner, like, whatever you need. I like, anyway,
I think
that's
I
another
know, but
podcast.
I think there's a lot to be said with just conquering fear through mindset. Like, it's like, you know, we mentioned, like, yeah, our fear, we have fears. I mean, I'm not going to get attacked by a saber-toothed tiger on my porch right now,
If one
which
jumps
is
you right now, I'm going to be surprised.
that would be we you'd go viral, you'd get a bunch of
Rich.
money, and you're gone. So,
Saber-tooth tiger in Tottenham.
I think a lot of it is mindset. I think a lot of it is, like, you know, when you wake up going, I'm broke, I'm broke, I'm broke, well, you're living your reality then. Like, if you just say to yourself, I'm rich, I am rich. I mean, the reality is, I think I read something recently. I think if you make more than $30,000 a year, you're in the top 1% in the world. Can you, like, do
Unbelievable.
that?
I believe it, but it's crazy.
So both of us do that. You have a home, I have a home, I have a roof over my head, I have food in my fridge. Like, it's like, I don't know. It's about, like, focusing on what it is that is good in our lives, what is positive. Like, it's like getting, like, I think if we're gonna have a takeaway on fear, is that, yeah, fear is real. Of course, fear is real. There are reasons, and there are good things about fear. It pushes you to do something, outside of your comfort zone. There's nothing wrong with that. Of course there is. But are a great many of the fears that we have never going to come true? Absolutely. And I think believing in yourself and believing in who you are, how you've survived this long, doing all these things that you've done, is a really, really important thing in the day-to-day. Like, I've gotten through 56 years on this earth, despite doing a lot of stupid stuff and making a lot of mistakes. I'm still here. I'm still going. What can I do today to just, like, live in love, be happy, not in fear, not in hate, and just, what can I do?
And
What can I do?
not stuff like regret and envy and jealousy and like, I used to drive my Harley at 200 miles an hour, no
Yeah.
fear. I wasn't scared of that.
Right.
But I used to get we used to have to we used to go down south with our with Kingstown. I'd be
Yeah.
scared to death. I used to scared I would never get back home to the kids. We'd miss our flight. We couldn't get back home. When I was on an island, I was always scared that I couldn't drive back to home if I had to be. I mean, I was for the first 15 years of my marriage life, I was scared to death that Shonda was going to leave me. I was jealous. Like if anyone looked at her, I was like, "What the fuck are you looking at my wife for?" Right? I mean, she was smoking.
Right.
I was just like jealous, 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 jealous. So bad it ruined. It was not good. It was not good.
Okay. So as soon as you said jealousy, there was one definition that I didn't read, and it is, what is the root of fear? Okay, listen to this one. There is in our life a constant state of comparison, competition, and the everlasting struggle to be somebody or to be nobody, which is the same thing. This is the root of all fear because it breeds envy, jealousy, and hatred.
Wow. Wow.
Right? So, I don't know.
Well,
It's like,
jealousy and envy are, I wish I could say I'm not an envious person, but I am. I am. I envy people that have things I don't have. I've told you before in our first podcast, I said that I envy anybody with peace of mind because I don't have any. And
so,
but
yeah.
that but th that's the last thing I'm going to say because we got to wrap it up. I just had an idea too I want to run by you, but when I used to say I thought it was great because these friends, these cool kids accepted me. I was the
Yeah.
same way with Mike and with you and with Jack because all of a sudden for about 10 years there, I was Mike's right-hand guy. And
Yeah.
like I was Mike's guy and I go to his cottage and his home and we go away on these business trips with all those other people. But everybody knew that I was Mike's guy, right? And I couldn't believe that Mike James accepted me that much. I couldn't believe that I was his friend. I thought, this is the coolest guy I know, and he wants to hang around with me. Like,
Right.
I felt cool by proxy. I couldn't believe it. And then when I got to be friends with you and with Brian Jack and with Endos even, like I thought these men are cooler than me. These guys are rock stars. I'm a roadie. Why are they hanging out with me? That's the way I've always felt. Like I just never felt like I deserved to be there. Like I and again, I thought they'd figure out who I was, and maybe Mike did. I don't know. I don't know.
So, okay, so I just want to touch on what you just said about peace of mind. So you said, like, you've always wanted peace of mind, and you are envious of people that have peace of mind. So if you're a human being and other people are human being and other human beings have had peace of mind, then surely you should be able to obtain peace of mind. I mean, that's logical, right?
It is.
So
Logic in me is
I
really
mean, really,
sad.
that it comes down to prioritizing what it is that you want. I'm sure that peace of mind is, it's probably what most people want.
Probably.
Well, I guess I would just say to you, what can you do today to have peace of mind?
You know what I'm going to start with?
What's
And
that?
I know we've talked about preparing isn't doing it, and thinking about is not doing it, only doing it is doing it.
Yeah.
But I've never done this before. I'm going to make a list of what I have to do to get there, what I think I have to do to get there. I'm going to start. Maybe it's
Okay.
a baby step, but I'm not just saying it, I'm going to try to figure it out.
It's I think peace of mind is like acceptance
I just
of.
want to wake up one morning and not think that my whole life's going to fall apart. Just one day. And I mean, that's my health, that's
What the
my marriage, that's my kids, that's my finances, that's everything. I just want to, every day I wake up and I just think, oh, fuck, man.
I don't want to make light of your situation because it's your situation, but the
Okay.
reality is, if you woke up yesterday and thought that, and you're here today, then you did it yesterday. So why aren't you going to do it today?
True.
I
True.
mean, all you have to do is get through today, and that you made it.
Well, you're right. You're right. Because
So,
anyways, this is
literally
why I
one
think
day
I'm going to
at a time.
stop there. I mean, you can get through. My wife and I have been going through this fear of losing our Ava for a while, and we lost her. But there's proof that you can deal with your fears because we lost her, we dealt with it, and now we're moving on. So you can do shit. I
We
can't talk
can.
about her because I'll cry. But
It's okay.
this is my idea.
All right.
Every time we've had a podcast, you and I have said, well, we got to do a part two of this. We got to do a part two of this. I think we should have a podcast called the Wrap Up Podcast.
Okay.
And we should look through some of our old podcasts where we still thought we had something to say, and maybe
Okay.
take a podcast where we take like 5-minute chunks just to deal with those, just to wrap those up, because I feel like a lot of them didn't get wrapped up. And
Okay.
I'd like to have a wrap up episode where we just touch on everything quickly and then put it to
Sure.
bed
We just
and
put it
then
to bed.
move
We're not
forward.
dealing with that anymore. That's
Right. Right.
it.
Just put it to bed. So
Yeah. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present.
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. What any recommendations this week? I never really
Didn't
thought of it either.
I didn't think about it. Well, I mean, we could go back to a return to love because it's a good one.
Absolutely.
Listen,
Absolutely.
hey, yeah, I'll make a recommendation. If you can't get out and go for a run or a walk, or you know, if you're looking for a little bit of a boost, just listen to some your favorite music today. Because I tell you, man, that is dopamine. Music's dopamine. It's good for you. Turn some music up and dance in your kitchen for 10 minutes.
I
That's
agree.
my recommendation.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one. And yeah, I don't, I wish I had prepared for it a little bit. Yeah, I'm not going to recommend something that I want to be sure. I mean, got lots of stuff I'd like to recommend, but I'll have to leave it for next time. I forgot. And that's
Don't
just
worry about
me. But anyway, I recommend you listen to all our old episodes. Let's say that.
it. Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, enough of
Be back.
fear. I want to tell you, I'm so happy to be back.
Me
It was
too.
weird because it's hard to talk about fear when you're so happy about something, because I am happy to be back. As soon as we hit this record the song, I'm like, oh, fuck, I miss doing this. I really do. I really do.
Good.
It's
Good.
good for me. So,
Yeah.
I love you.
Love you too.
I hope you have a good week.
You too.
I'll put our song on, and we'll talk about next week what we're going to talk about, and
Sounds great.
come up with something good. Maybe we'll figure out something more positive to talk about next week.
We'll figure it out.
All right.
Love you, man. Have a great day.
You too. Always think when the song's on, I can't talk. Just staring at people is weird. Like a song's on.
Need a man who's got it made, always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah.
Rock and roll.
See you, brother.